Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
He took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned. So the body without the spirit, the Bible says, is death. And if you are not spiritually born again, then you will die eternally.
If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have eternity to look forward to. Because Jesus paid the price for our sin, we can now live forever with Him because of His grace and forgiveness. Our lives here on this earth are only temporary. The best is yet to come, and we are so ready for it. Please stay with us for part two of our teaching out of Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Jesus has a different view of death than the rest of us have, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But he told him, only believe. So what does believing look like in Jairus? So Jairus has to believe now. He's been told by Jesus, only believe. What does that look like? It would look like continuing on to his house. It would look like continuing on, following through. That's what faith is. That's what belief looks like. You read God's word and you apply it. That's faith. You trust what God says, even if you don't know whether or not it's going to work, because we're walking by faith. I use an analogy here, and I just want to use it quickly today. But later on in Hebrews, we're in Hebrews on Wednesday nights, and when we get to Hebrews chapter 11, we get a bunch of examples of faith there. And he starts off talking in great detail, and then by the end, he's like a preacher that's put too much up front and realizes, I'm never guilty of that, by the way, hurrying through a sermon near the end because I took too much time up front. But he finally gets to a spot and he says, by faith, the children of Israel went through the Red Sea. By faith, the children of Israel kept the Passover. They're just throwing it out there. So I always think about the Red Sea parting. And I think about the children of Israel there and the chariots of Pharaoh are behind them. And Moses, who looks suspiciously like Charlton Heston, standing on a rock with his staff up. And the water parts. And in the scene, in the Ten Commandments, they all kind of move forward. But I kind of think of them looking at the walls of water and going, what are we supposed to do now? And Moses saying, go. And them going, you go. And somebody with faith runs by him and runs into the middle of it. And then somebody else follows, and someone else follows, and someone, and then they all go. Some of them were hesitant to go through. Some of them immediately went through, but they all had faith. Sometimes we think that if we are hesitant but obedient, that that's not faith. That's faith. If you're confident and obedient, hesitant and obedient, it's the obedience to the word of God. It's doing what God said. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That allows you to be obedient. So in Jairus, what looked like faith was him going, okay, let's go. So it says, Jesus answered, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. And when he came into the house, he permitted no one except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. So these five people were allowed to go in and experience this miracle. And I ask, why them? Now the mother and father, okay, we'll understand. Why Peter, James, and John? You could say, well, these guys were leaders. They were the inner circle. They were being groomed for leadership. But I have a question about that too. Peter, okay, I agree. And every time the disciples are listed, Peter's listed first, Judas is listed last. And so we go, okay, Peter has a leadership role. But James and John are an interesting couple to bring in here to see this miracle. Because James, although he's in this inner circle, although he seems he's being trained for leadership, dies only a few years after Jesus. He's the first of the disciples to die. To make matters, what I'm going to say is worse, God delivers Peter. They're both arrested. Peter and James are arrested. God delivers Peter by an angel, but James is killed with the sword. Why? Why have a disciple that's been on the Mount of Transfiguration? Why have a disciple that went further into the garden with him? Why have a disciple that saw this little girl raised from the dead die? Because God was going to have that these disciples would be martyred eventually, all of them, and one of them would go first. God's choice was John. And then the other brother that's here, he's the guy that lived the longest. He lived into his 90s. He wrote the book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the Gospel of John. And he also suffered, by the way. Boiled in oil under Diocletian, the emperor, arrested and boiled in oil, survived and exiled to the island of Patmos. Boiled in oil, by the way, is another, I don't know why they call it boiled in oil. That's another word for fried, right? And survived with the, probably, I assume, with the scars to show his survival of that. And so my question is, James, who died young, let's put him in his 30s. John, who died in his 90s, which one had the better lot? Now, from our perspective, we might easily say, I would rather be John. I'd rather live to my 90s. But the truth is, we don't know. Because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And so God knows our appointed times. God knows, and he brings them in to experience this miracle of this little girl being raised from the dead. It's interesting. Maybe I'm reading too much into that. I don't know. It says, and the father and mother of the girl, and then verse 52, now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. So now Jesus gives us his perspective on what death is because of what he knows he's going to do. That death is just sleeping. And here we're not talking soul sleep, all right? And I don't have enough time to develop that right now, all of the reasons why soul sleep is not true. So if you've heard it or not, soul sleep is a teaching that some Christians teach that when you die, you take a long nap and we're all going to wake up at the same time. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, so that he knew he would be in the presence of God. And Jesus sees a Christian closing their eyes and opening them up again, and we will one day have a resurrected body. So Jesus sees things completely differently. And it's good for us to contemplate those things. It's good for us to know that they just went to sleep. And they ridicule him, knowing that she was dead. And a lot has been made out of this. There were hired mourners and all of that. Well, and maybe all of that's true. The text doesn't say it. It just says that they ridicule him because it was like, hey, she's dead. And they turn and they begin to ridicule him. And people ridicule us for our faith. People ridicule us because we believe in eternity, that we believe that we will be transformed. And it says, but he put them all out outside. And I would have loved to have seen that happen. They're ridiculing him. They're there for the parents. And Jesus says, get out. If you were in charge of directing a movie on Jesus and you were going to portray this scene, what would you portray it like? I would have them being hesitant. That's what I would do. And then I would see the authority of Jesus, you know, really strong, and I would have them getting their things and getting up and getting out of there. Because Jesus drove them out. Another passage uses that word in the Greek, by the way, drove them out. So he chases them all out. He took her by the hand and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned. So the body without the spirit, the Bible says, is death. And if you are not spiritually born again, then you will die eternally. Mark wrote, and it's interesting because, so Luke is written by a traveling companion of Paul. Luke made his way to Jerusalem with Paul, interviewed the people that saw these things, and wrote them down. So Luke is giving eyewitness accounts, but it's through him compiling them. Mark gets his information from Peter. So Peter tells Mark what happens. And so Mark, when he writes it, says that Jesus took her by the hand and said, Talitha kumi, which is Aramaic for little girl, arise. Why did that stick out so much in Peter's mind? They spoke Aramaic all the time. We know that. We know that in the region that they were in the large region around the world, really, during their days, Greek was coming on. Greek was becoming more popular. The Greek world certainly spoke Greek. The Roman world spoke Latin. We understand that. Both of those would come on strong. but the world had spoken Aramaic for hundreds of years, and that region spoke Aramaic. So why would they just all of a sudden bring in these words, Talitha Kumi? Because it was a weird moment for Peter. Because you can imagine that when Peter saw that little girl get up, heard those words, Talitha Kumi. Have you ever responded physically to certain words? Something's told you, something you don't want to hear, or you have a physical response. I think that when Peter watched that little girl get up out of that bed, that he never forgot the words, Talitha Kumi. By the way, you're looking for a name for a little girl? Nobody wants to name their, little girl, whatever anymore. They want new names. Talitha, it's out there. By the way, Talitha is a name that for hundreds of years, saints have named. Some of them they named Talitha Kumi. It's like Talitha Kumi Furrow. Huh. Little girl, arise. Then the spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded them to give her something to eat, which would prove she was really alive, that she wasn't a spirit, but was really alive. And her parents were astonished, and he charged them to tell no one what happened. Which is in stark contrast to what we just read earlier in the same chapter, when the man delivered from the legion of demons says, I want to follow you. And Jesus says, no, but go to your house, go to your home, and tell everybody what I've done for you, what God has done for you. And now he tells Jairus, don't tell anybody. By the way, the other passages tell us that he told everybody. Because how did you keep something like that in? Don Francisco wrote a song years ago, I Gotta Tell Somebody. It's all about this account. And now at the end of it, he's like, I gotta tell somebody. What Jesus did for me, I gotta tell somebody. Now the crazy thing is here, and Jesus is trying to keep things under wrap, and at another time when we have more time, we'll talk about why Jesus told people often in this part of his ministry, don't tell anybody. He's trying to keep something under wraps. But the real funny thing is that we're told to tell everybody and we tell nobody. They're told to tell nobody and they tell everybody. So we'll look at what Jesus was not trying to keep a secret, by the way. So that's what the critics do. What was the secret Jesus was keeping? Well, the secret is that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that would come out one day, but the timing needed to be right. So I said I wasn't going to go into it, but I did. All right. Let me read you a couple of passages about death. I wanted to do this in the beginning, but I wanted to make sure I left plenty of time for the passage because there's so much that's in it. But this passage shows us that there's something new happening with death. She is not dead, she is asleep. And when someone in our if I die in a couple of years, I will be asleep. I realize you guys will miss me greatly, but I'll be asleep and I will be resurrected. And so I just want to give you a couple of passages of the Bible on death. Number one, Revelation 21:4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So death is for this time, but one day it'll all pass away. Psalms 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The word saint simply means set apart one. Every one of you guys are saints. Realize that the Catholic Church proclaims people to be saints, but you are a saint when you are born again. And your death is precious in God's eyes because you're entering into his presence. You're going to be with him. Philippians 3:20 and 21 says, for our citizenship is in heaven. This tells us that no longer as Christians, no longer are we citizens of this earth. In fact, it's interesting when you look at the language of eschatology, it talks about judgment coming upon earth dwellers regularly. We are not supposed to be earth dwellers. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. We're passing through. For our citizenship is in heaven. We are the real aliens, by the way. I don't know what all those things they're seeing are, but we're the real aliens. For which we also eagerly wait for our Savior, it goes on to say in Philippians, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body. So we're going to be resurrected. We're going to be transformed. You are not going to be a spirit in eternity. You're going to have a body that is immortal and incorruptible according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. One more, and then we're done. In John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus is having the Last Supper with his disciples. He's given them some very bad news. He's told them, I'm leaving you, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. One of you is going to betray me, and one of you is going to deny me. And then he points out it's Peter who's going to deny him. Peter says, I would never deny you. And he says, no, Peter, actually, it's you. You're not going to deny me once. You're going to deny me three times. And so Jesus says to them, let not your hearts be troubled. This is John 1, 14, 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. You must have looked out at the faces of these guys. Leaving? Betrayal? Denial? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, this may very well be a reference to the rapture. I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. But I think it could also be applied to everyone when we die on that appointed day, that Jesus is there. When Stephen was being stoned, the first martyr of the church, James was the first apostle to die. Stephen was the first martyr of the church. The Bible says that he looked up to heaven and they saw his face like the face of an angel. And he said, I see the Son of God standing by the right hand of the Father. The Bible tells us that Jesus went and sat down by the right hand of the Father. He was standing to receive this first martyr of the church. And Jesus will come back for us, so that we see death differently because of what we see here today. And that's not to say that Jesus won't touch your life and do miracles, because our God does do miracles today. We also pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray for his will, but we believe that God can move in each one of our lives. Stand up with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for all that we find in the pages of Scripture. Thank you for you speaking to us and revealing to us this incredible, compassionate story of giving this little girl back to her mother and father, and how you didn't, because Jairus had been a ruler in the synagogue who was against you, you held no animus towards him, but simply had compassion upon him. What a great thing. And Lord, we pray that you would meet our needs, but we want to know you. We want to know the Savior who would be so compassionate. And it was changed death for all of us. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. I want to give you an opportunity, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you've never been born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. So he wants to bring you into his home and make you a child of God. But the Bible also says that you have to be born of the Spirit. Jesus said you must be born again or you won't see the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And without the Spirit, you don't have that means by which you can connect with God. I'm not saying that without the Spirit you can't ever interact with God, but the Spirit brought to life, because God is Spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit, you have to be born of the Spirit. And if you've never been transformed and you've never been changed, but you want to invite Jesus into your life, you want to begin to live that new life that he has called you to live, you want your sins forgiven, he said, come unto me, let us reason together. Though your sins are as red as crimson, I'll make them as white as snow. And he'll give you that new fresh start and transform you. If you would like to do that, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple right where you are. Just raise your hand. God bless you, sir. Under the balcony there, that's great. God bless you. All I see is a hand way in the back of the balcony. That's great. God bless you. Anyone else? If you're watching online, you can respond as well. This is a live service. God bless you, ma'am. This is a live service. You can just say, Lord, I want you in my life. You can raise your hand if you want to. The Bible says, today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. All right, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you may wonder why we would applaud you giving your life to Christ, because we were there, the vast majority of us. We surrendered our lives to Jesus and found that transforming power of God in each one of our lives. Now, we have a new believers table that is over here under this balcony along the wall. We have a new believers packet we want to give you and a Bible. Now that your spirit has been brought to life, you're going to need to feed it on the milk and the meat of God's word so you can grow. You want to come to maturity as a Christian. That happens by the word of God. That's the maturing power in our lives. And then we want to give you a new believer's packet, which just helps you to know what to do now. Now that you made a commitment to Christ, what do? That's all in that packet. You could also send us a text if you're online especially. This is for you. You can send us a text, ready for Jesus, to 94,000. You're going to get a link. Click on that link, and it's our new believers card. Fill that out. We'll have people who will get in touch with you. You could also send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. Tell us your story, what God did. Send that email off, and we'll have people who will respond and interact with you through that email. We just want to make it as easy as we can, any way that we can, that you would be able to follow through with the commitment that you made with Christ today. Now I'm going to ask you, the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you, men and women, to lift up your hands made holy by the blood of the Lamb. And will you pray for those that you know who need Christ, that they would be able to come to Him and find eternity? And I want to pray for you as you pray for those people. Father, I want to pray for all of those who are here in this room today. Lord, I lift them up before you. I pray for those that need a healing touch. Gabriel said to Mary, there is now nothing impossible for God. And Lord, I pray that you would touch and heal even mental disorders or whatever may be going on. And Lord, of course, we pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, I also want to pray for those that are struggling now, that are at the end of their rope, that feel like they can't take anymore. They just can't seem to get clicking in life. Lord, you've said a bruised reed you won't break, a smoldering flax you won't put out, and that you are near the brokenhearted. And I pray for the brokenhearted today that you would soothe them and bring them into that deep relationship with you. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered to do the very work that God's called you to do. May you be closer to Jesus this week than you've ever been before.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.